Living Hope Assembly of God.
If you have your Bible this morning, go with me again to Luke chapter 21. I get a chance to pastor, and we're going to be here for the next couple weeks in Luke chapter 21. I'm going to try not to hold you very long today. Just don't call me a liar if I do. Amen. It hurts to be called a liar. I'm not called a liar very often, at least not in my face. It may be because how big I am, I don't know. Are we there? I told you guys last week as I put this together, I feel like where we at as a church, man, God's doing some amazing things. The church is doing well. God's kingdom is being built here. But the question this year as we really, it's the heading of this year is Ignite. Ignite. That's not just talking about church life. Your life should be church 24/7. Our lives should be the kingdom of God 24/7 in everything that we do and everything that we say. In our family, as husbands, as wives, as children and people of God, we should be consumed with God and pleasing Him. So the gospel message should permeate our lives in every way. The reading of God's word is very important to get you and I to that place. Prayer is a key to getting to that place. We need God as individuals to ignite our hearts afresh. What is fire? Fire is a devastating thing if it's placed in the wrong hands. But fire is a purifying agent. And it purifies and it takes away the things that are unnecessary. And if fire is used in the wrong way, to take away the things that are necessary, that should remain. But the fire of God, the holiness of God, burns away the things in our lives that should not be there. Ignite. We're talking about ignite. Ignite means for me and our church this year is we are wanting God to ignite us so that we could reach the city. In order for that to happen, there has to be some things that God has to burn off, because the very things that God has to burn off are the very things that are holding us back from doing exactly what God has called us to do. In our own personal lives as a husband, there are things, pride, selfish ambition, selfish desires, greed. There are things in my life that I need to allow God to burn off so that I can be the man of God for my home. And the same is true for the ladies. Guys, listen, we have to come into this place eagerly expecting God to do something in our lives. And when God starts to do something, He will only meet us where we are willing to go. Listen, God is wanting to take every one of us to new heights and new depths and new levels in Him. But the problem is we stand in resistance a lot of times to God. Ignite. God, set us on fire. God, I know that there are a lot of people here this morning that are in love with Jesus. And the question this morning is, why are we not doing more? And why are we not being more then, if that's the case? And I believe there is. I believe that most of us inside of this house today, we love Jesus. I believe that. I firmly believe that you would not be here today, but there's something inside of every one of us after we have come so far with God where we stop. And one of the reasons we stop is because of fear. Do you hear me this morning? God is wanting to break the stronghold of fear off of our lives so that we can do things that seem to be impossible. Amen. Listen, we don't need God to do the things that are easy. We need God in our lives to do the things that seem to be impossible, but in reality, we need God to do all things if they're going to consistently be fruitful. So where are we at this morning? The greatest challenge in our lives today and the greatest question that we're going to be asked this year as a church is, how much are we willing to give to the kingdom of God? And I can preach it all day long, but until you accept it and until you deal with it, and until you take inventory of your life, and until I take inventory of my life, the question is going to remain. And we're going to consistently stay where we're at. We're going to consistently stay at a place of doing just a lot of good things and only meeting God so far and saying, God, I'm a little too afraid to go farther with you. God, I don't want to go in the deep waters. God, I want to stay in the shallow. But God is challenging us individually, and God is challenging our church today to go out into the deep things of him so that we can reach the farther people that are farther away from him, the farthest away from him. The question is, can you swim? Are you willing to go? How much are you willing to give for the kingdom of God? The Bible says in Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4, just then he looked up and saw the rich people dropping offerings in the collection plate. Then he saw a poor widow put in 2 pennies. He said, the plain truth is that this widow has given by far the largest offering today. All these others made offerings that they'll never miss. Did you hear that? All of them gave offerings that they'll never miss. Why is it that we give God offerings that we'll never miss? Why do we do things that are only convenient for us? If it doesn't fit my time, if it doesn't fit my schedule, God, it's just probably not going to happen, and you better just be satisfied with the little bit that I have given you. Why is it that most of us are at this place in our faith, in our walks with God? Listen, God is wanting more from us than we could ever imagine. God is wanting to be the whole of our lives. The Bible says that he is jealous for you. He's consumed by you, and he wants all of your time. He doesn't want just 80%. He doesn't want just 90%. God is wanting 100% of our time. But the question this morning is, where are your priorities in giving God what is due to him? Where are they? He said they gave what they'll never miss. She gave extravagantly what she couldn't afford. She gave her all. When was the last time that we gave extravagantly to God? The Bible says that as he sat there that day in opposite of the treasury, we are informed by Mark in his gospel record that Jesus was observing how the multitudes were putting money in the treasury. The word translated observe here in this text is the Greek word therio, which means to contemplate, consider, gaze upon with great interest and attention. As Jesus observed the multitudes putting money in the treasury, he witnessed the fact that many rich people were putting in large sums. He acknowledged that. To the casual observer and judging simply by outward appearance, it might be easily thought that the large contributors to the temple treasury were the most righteous member of the Jewish community. When we look at the outward appearance of what they gave, especially from a human perspective and with respect to the monetary given, in our opinion, in 21st century, in America, too often size does matter. Oftentimes we look at the person and we say, man, that person is doing a whole lot. Can I tell you today, just because we're doing a whole lot, we might not be doing it as unto the Lord. The greater the gift, the greater the giver, so we think. The nature of the gift itself, however, is not always a true indicator of the nature of the heart of the giver. And it was the heart in which Jesus ultimately is concerned with, not so much with what was given. I need for you to understand that today. God is wanting us to give of ourselves. God is wanting us to give our entire lives to him. But God is not so much looking at how much we're doing, more than he's looking at why. why we're doing it. Do you hear me? Because some people serve to make a name for themselves. Some people serve in leadership positions so that they can have an opportunity to control. Some of us serve because we just want to build God's kingdom. Which category do we fall in? We talked about this morning in Sunday school. We talked about being a servant and what it really means to be a servant. Although Mark points out that many rich people were putting rather large sums amount of money into the treasury, they were not the ones that caught the attention of the Lord that day. Instead, it was the poor widow woman who gave next to nothing. One of her mites would have been equal in wealth to a crumb or a small morsel. The mite was the smallest coin in circulation in Palestine during that day. I want to bring you up to speed on what this lady really gave that day. A single mite was such an insignificant amount that a rabbinic rule prohibited the offering of just one. On this day, Jesus intently gazed up on the heart of this widow and noticed the sincerity of her giving. When God looks up on your heart, what does he see? See, that's a question this morning that we have to grapple with as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. When God looks up on your heart, what does he see? I talked about it this past Wednesday, the DNA. When we look at the human body, we all have the same kind of organs. They are aligned and positioned in the same place. Not one person in this house today is born without a heart. Not one person in this house today was born without lungs, unless there's some kind of deformity going on in your body. So if Jesus, the Lord and Savior of the born-again believers in his house, were to walk into this house like in the book of Revelation and start taking inventory of our lives, and I told the group this past Wednesday, can we imagine with me Christ coming through the back door, stopping a little kid as he's walking in and saying, listen, I'm about to go in and I'm about to do a spiritual surgery on every person that's attending service in that church, right, in that sanctuary, in that worship center, because I want to see what is inside of them. When he cuts open Pat and he sees that there's a heart filled with compassion, when he sees there's a heart that's filled with love for the least, the last, and the lost, when he gets the deacon Phil, when he cuts him open spiritually, he should see the same thing that he saw inside of Pat, because the same spirit that lives inside of Pat should live inside of you. The same work that God is doing inside of my life, he should be doing it inside of your life. Listen, the DNA of a Christian should be the same. We are all born to the same God, the same Father, the same Lord. You were not born to someone else that is foreign to the one that I was born to. We were born to the same God. We should have the same DNA. What does he see when he looked at your heart, when he looked at my heart? Does he see someone who is giving their all to build his kingdom, or does he see someone who is trying to build their own kingdom? Can I tell you this morning, there are times, and that's one of the greatest struggles inside of the church, is that we're always trying to build our own kingdom. You have your kingdom and I have mine. That's why your kingdom needs to die and my kingdom needs to die, so that his kingdom can be raised up in our lives. Listen, if your kingdom is the one that is prominent in your life, listen, you're not going to understand how to build his kingdom. And that's why when it comes to being a servant in the house of God, it is foreign to some people and it is very familiar to others, because some of us, we have learned the art of dying to ourselves so that Christ can live through us. In other words, we have to give up our old nature so that the nature of God can live inside of us. I'm preaching pretty good this morning. I feel the Spirit of God in this place, and God is wanting to transform some lives. Listen, God is wanting us to be better, to do better, to say better, and to act better than we have been yesterday. The life that we live is so short when compared to eternity. Did you know that? James 4 and 14 says, what is your life? Ponder that for a moment. What is your life? Too often, Deacon Brad, we get caught up with the small things and we forget to see there's a bigger picture. Your life is bigger than your success. Your life is more than your job. Your life is more than your children. Your life is more than your health. When we grab a hold of that and understand why we were born and why God saved us and why God delivered us, then we will be able to answer that question accurately. Because the reality is this. When James says, what is your life? Hands should fly up. My life is to serve the kingdom of God. My life is Jesus. My life is the hope of glory. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then it vanishes. So what that tells you is that your life is short. So if my life is so short and in comparison to eternity, I like how Francis Chan, he had a rope as an illustration, a rope that reached so far, and on the end of that rope was a little bitty piece of tape. That is your life on this endless rope. But what you do with that little bitty span of time can make a world of difference, an eternity of difference in the life of somebody else that you don't even know yet. See, but the reality is this. We're so bottled up inside of ourselves. We're so self-centered. We're so conceited. We're so worried about ourselves that we forget that there's a whole world going on around us and that people are dying and slipping into eternity and they don't even know Jesus. You want to know why your existence, why you exist today? You exist because you have the word of God inside of you. And God is wanting to get it out. That's why you exist. That's why God saved us. That's why God set us free. What are you doing with your short, temporary, fleeting, and uncertain life? Are you focusing on the small things? Are you more concerned with situations that you can't change anyways? Some of us, we're living in prisons, in bondage to our own selves. Prisons in our own mind of fear, doubt, stress, worry, anxiety. And the entire time, God has set you free. The enemy knew his attempt was to send Paul to prison. Paul said, I may be bound in chains, but the word of God is not bound. The incorruptible word of God was inside of him. See, the enemy knows that if he can get your mouth closed, he can stop you. If he could take your focus off of God, giving God your all in spite of your situation. Or let me say it like this. Don't allow the enemy to cause your attention to be over here and you give your time to your problem. Some of us, we want to give our time to our sickness. I want to brag on my wife or talk about her and use her as an illustration. She has a sickness inside of her. She has a disability. Unless God heals her, she'll have it for the rest of her life. But not one time has that disability hindered her from helping to build God's kingdom. It's where you place your focus. It's what you're feeding. It's what you give your time and what you give your efforts to. Some of us are not the smartest. Some of us is not the most talented. But God is wanting to use what we do have. One of the things I hate the most is when I see people sitting on their hands. What do you mean by that? When God has given you the ability to serve him. Listen, some of us may not ever rise above being just a helper. But listen, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. You're serving God. We're building God's kingdom. And God is wanting us to stand there with empty hands so that he can fill them. Empty hands are full hands that are going to be made empty. Things that we need to lay down so that we can pick things up that really matter. How much are you willing to give? How much are you willing to sacrifice for the kingdom of God? The average life expectancy is 70 or 80 years in respect to eternity. This is really short, and what we do with it will affect the rest of our lives on earth and in eternity. Let us look for a moment at this passage and notice several things, and this is going to be the springboard of this is where we're going to go, the vein of what we're going to be talking about for the next week or two. And I want you to notice this out of this text. It was about God for her. It was about serving God. And secondly, in our text this morning, I want you to notice the attenders, the people that Jesus talked about in our text. And thirdly, I want you to notice within our text, it was about the woman and who she was. And I want you to notice this morning, you could write this down. God is always interested in our giving. Do you hear me? God is always interested in our giving. He has given us so much in time, talents, and money, and he wants to see what are we willing to do with what he has given us. He is interested in our giving because when it is done right, it is an act of worship. He is interested in our giving because when it is done right, it brings glory to God. See, that's why Jesus said that many who do those things serve God outwardly, and they get their praise from men. But those who do it privately are rewarded by God. Listen to what I'm saying this morning. God is looking at your heart. God is looking to see why we do what we do. He is interested in our giving. Giving also shows the extent of our generosity, or it can show the extent of our selfishness. Did you hear that? We're talking about giving. I figured it would probably get kind of quiet this morning. See, because the reality is this, we need to be challenged in such a way that it causes us to think. I'm learning that. Somebody told me, preacher, it's not because people are not listening. It's because they're really taking inventory of what you're saying. And see, that's my job. I want you to hear what I'm saying, but I want you to do exactly what the Spirit is saying. In the parable of the rich fool, turn there with me to Luke chapter 12. And we're going to look at verses 16 through 20. Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 20. Luke 12, 16 through 20. I want you to understand this morning that God is looking. He's interested in our giving. And I promise you, we may feel like that we're getting away with something when we half-heartedly do anything for God. when we half-heartedly serve, when we half-heartedly give in whatever way you want to talk about giving this morning. You could talk about money. You could talk about your time. This is going to weigh in on every aspect of our lives, because you'll never leave here saying, that preacher just wants money. No, he doesn't. The preacher just wants to see you do all that you can do for God. Thank you. The Bible says in Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 20, and he told the people this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. What did God call him? What? God, in America, we set up, we're geared towards setting up for retirement. We're geared towards setting up life so that we can sit back and take it easy. There's nothing wrong with those things, but it's a mentality behind those things. See, you've got to be careful. Don't allow your mentality about your retirement to slip into the church. See, because many of us have retired spiritually. We're taking it easy. We're taking the easy road now because I've served that church for a number of years. I headed up the children's ministry for a year. Listen, I was on the deacon board for this long, and I just think I don't want to serve anymore. I cleaned the church for a certain amount of time, and I just think it's somebody else's turn, and all of these things. And we set up and we say, I'm just tired, and I'm just done. I just want to see somebody else do it for a while. Amen. Y'all are like, man, there's another church down the street that's much easier than this one. Listen to what God said. Somebody say, God said. You fool, this very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who would get what you have prepared for yourself? It's almost like God said, You're useless. Why would God say that? Because of a person's actions, the motive of the, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Listen, you when you start to speak negative things out your mouth, that's your spiritual state. When you say I'm tired, I'm done, and we begin to wonder and reflect and even sometimes question if God is real and all of these things, that's the state of your heart. And God is looking. The Bible says that that a branch that is useless, what happens to it? It is cut off and thrown into the fire. You cannot change the character of God. It is riveted from Old Testament to New Testament, and his word is eternal, and we have to take God at face value. God is expecting something out of you. That day, God stood in that temple, and he watched that lady give out of the abundance of her heart and out of her lack, and he saw the rich in their giving, but he commended that lady who gave extravagantly. Listen, if Jesus was there that day, Jesus is here today. He's the eternal God. He's the omnipresent God. He's everywhere all the time. At the same time, when you're at home, when you're in the grocery store, when you're in the by and by, the hedges and the highways and the byways, when you're riding down the street with your wife and y'all having this conversation where you're belittling each other, when you're at the bank and you feel like you didn't get the right amount on your check stub, and you go in there and the little teller is confused and you're confused, but you start to act really crazy and say a bunch of dumb things, God is standing there at that moment, and he's saying, why you didn't use discretion? Why you didn't use self-control? Why you didn't hold your anger? Why are you being angry without a cause? Am I preaching this morning? How much are you willing to give? See, it has to go past money. It has to go past, listen, guys, listen, Can I just be real? We got to get to the place where we're consumed with the things of God. We got to get to a place where we're tired. I don't want to just come to church. I don't. There, I can be fishing today. There are big fish out there, Jim. I got 4 or 5 unbroken poles from the move. Why do I do what I do? Why do you do what you do? Does your heart burn for the lost of the world? Does your heart burn to serve somehow in God's kingdom? It means something to serve in God's house. If you're washing the windows in the back of the church, it means something because someone's going to come here very shallow and they're looking to see if we have clean windows and a swept floor. But that person is a soul to God. And we got to serve well. In every place in our lives, God is calling us to higher standards. He's calling us to a place of maturity. But in order to get to a place of maturity, we got to put aside our childish ways. God is interested in your giving. Young people, how much are we giving to God? Do you hear me? Because guess what? You're not going to be young much longer. And what we give to God now, we're going to give to God then. I'm just going to brag again on my wife because I live with my wife. I don't live with you. When I met my wife, listen, she's a giver in everything. I'm like, come on, baby, wait a minute, hold up. Let's stop for a moment. She loves to give in every area of her life, and she teaches our kids to be givers. I feel so bad for them sometimes. Oh, wait a minute. You got, that's a dollar. You got to put 10%, 10 cents of that in the offering. Teaching them the principle of being givers. If they learn it on this side, it'll be easier on that side. See, because why God impart in a practical way why we should be givers of ourselves is because there may come a time that you don't have your fancy banking account. There may come a time that you don't have your nice home. There may come a time that things will be taken away from you because you claim the name of Jesus. And when they start cutting you off, what are you going to do? When you have a mindset at that point, listen, you could take all of these superficial things from me, but one thing you can't take away from me is the love of God that is inside of my heart. You could rip this old fleshly heart out of my chest, but I may fall to the ground, and immediately I go and be with God. And listen, you can't take that from me. I want you to notice that the rich man is not condemned for his riches in our text. It is no sin to be rich. It was not his wealth that caused his downfall, but it was his greed. And I want to say something as a side note about that. Listen, greed is subtle. No one is born greedy except, well, I'll take that back. You know, you have babies that be like, crying all the time. But let me use it in this way, the analogy, so that we can make some good preaching today. A person, a businessman, who starts an honest business, who just want to treat everybody fairly, and as his wealth starts to grow, his responsibility starts to grow, and eventually, instead of him seeing the people through relationships, he's seeing the people as objects, as means to gain more riches. And that's why it's very important as a pastor that we consistently see God's people as God's people. If we consistently see God's people as his sheep, sheep of his pasture, and we are just stewards over what God has entrusted us with. This is not my ministry. This is God's ministry. That's not your ministry. That's God's ministry. Those are not your children. Those are God's children. That's not your house. That's God's house. And when God is in control, you are out of control, and you are at a position of saying, listen, it's not mine anyways. Where are you at this morning? How much are you willing to give to get to that place? Some of us need to pray harder. Some of us need to fast more, and we're going to talk about this. We're going to nail it home. You are never going to be able to leave this place and say, that preacher didn't sweat. I believe that God has placed our church on a mission to reach the lost. But if you're going or have been in the military, we have people who have served in the military, and I want to say this, and I'm going to say it in all earnesty. Listen, a fat boy can't get through. Ooh. When they're done with you in the Army or the Marines, you're slim and trim. Why? How would you look? How would I look weighing 400 or 500 pounds on the battlefield? Carrying artillery that weighs 50 pounds or more. How would that look if you're not self-disciplined and you have to go 2 weeks without eating? How would that look if you were allowed to go through and you don't know how to work together as a team? You'll die. You'll die really fast. But not only will you die, but you'll compromise the entire unit. The reason why God allows you to go through and the reason why God is asking you to give up some things is because not only you he is concerned about, but he's concerned about Joe that doesn't know him. He's concerned about Sally who doesn't know him. He's concerned about the least, the last, and the lost of this world, and he's wanting to place something in you, but he has to get something out of you. So some of us need to lose the weight of the world so that we can be slim and trim and pick up the word of God so that we can be and to do everything that he has called us to be and do everything he has called us to do. You can't get by in this world weighed down with the cares of this world. That's why we need to let go of the weight and the sin that so easily weighs us down, entangles us, and calls us to not to be able to run effectively. Greed comes from the selfish nature. It is the excessive desire to acquire or possess more than what you need or deserve, especially with respect to material wealth. There are people right now. Can I just be, I'm going to make it, what's the word, relevant? There are people right now that are working umpteen hours on their job, and their families are lacking spiritually. Dad, mom, our children need us more than we need stuff. Giving our children stuff will only make them greedy and self-centered. Giving our children Jesus will make them givers. Does it make sense? To the world, it doesn't make sense. But to those who are in the kingdom of God, it makes plenty sense. What did Christ do? He gave himself. This was precisely the mindset of the wealthy landowner. Not once did the landowner consider, what can I do for the poor? In this passage of scripture, not once did he consider, what can I do for the hungry and thirsty and the naked? Not once did he think of the empty bellies, the barns, and the houses of the poor where he might have been able to assist with grain. He was not even concerned about his own spiritual condition. Instead, he was more consumed with how he could bring fulfillment to his own selfish desires. Not once was he interested in how he could give himself and his wealth in helping God's kingdom by helping others. Too often, this is the picture of the 21st century church. We're more concerned about our four and no more. We're more concerned about those who attend our church. We're more concerned about those who look like us, talk like us, and think like us. Oftentimes when someone doesn't think like us, if we're not careful, we'll push that individual over in the corner and we'll say that this person is a heretic, this person is this person is that. No, maybe that individual just might be challenging your thinking. Maybe God has placed that individual in your life for a reason. Maybe they don't smell like you. Maybe you should buy them some perfume or cologne. Instead of talking about it, let's be about it. When you see the little kids, and I believe that God is going to send some different kind of people into our church, and when that thing comes to your mind, that person is not like this, that person is not like that, you need to be asking God, what can I do to bring resolve? Hello? God is speaking to our hearts this morning. We are more of a consumer at times than we are producers. I'm going to say it again because somebody didn't get it. We are more consumer mindset than we are producing or producer mindset. And that's an unfortunate thing. The consumer goes in and they look at the piece of beef. I want you to grab a hold of something. And they goes into the market and they look at the piece of beef and they say, and they reach in their wallet and they say, I'm going to buy that piece of beef because I like how that piece of beef looks. The producer goes into the market and looks at the piece of beef and admires the piece of beef, and he goes out to the next livestock and buys the entire cow. And he raises that cow and mates that cow with the bull and produces more beef. When we come to church and hear God's word, and we give ourselves to God's word, instead of taking God's word and just chewing on God's word and consuming God's word, we want to reproduce God's word in the lives of others. So we give ourselves to the things of God. We don't just come and get the things of God, but we give ourselves to the things of God. I want you to grab a hold of that. Let's not come to church to get the things of God per se, but we want to get the things of God so that we can give the things of God to someone else. Because not everyone's going to come inside of your church. Not everyone's going to do church. Not everyone understands church lingo. Not everyone wants to hang around with church people because church people has gotten a bad name throughout the years. Consumed with ourselves. We're not concerned with the least, the last, and the lost, and we wonder why churches in America are dying. I think the statistics say over 1,400 churches a month maybe are dying. 1,400. What is that telling me? Are they dying because the word's not being preached? No. People are preaching all the time. But no one is going. You've heard me talk about the tri-model of the church, and we're going to wrap it up with this. If I could come to the piano, please, and we're going to wrap it up with this. I think it's still in the bulletin, even. You've heard me talk about the tri-model of the church. Within this model, there is the upward relationship between each person and God. If you'll stand this morning, we're going to wrap this up. And then we have the inward relationship between the corporate body of believers and the outward mission of the church as they take the love of Christ and the gospel message to the world around them. We have the upward, our relationship with God. We have the inward, our time of spending what we're doing right here, fellowship, worshiping together, and we have the outward mission of God, the heartbeat of God. A heart, I want you to understand something, and I want to liken this to a heart. A heart cannot sustain life to the body if it is not pumping blood in and out. We have come close to perfecting the upward and the inward part of doing church, but most churches struggle with the outflow of the heartbeat of God. We worship together. We, in our own private time, a lot of times we worship God together in the privacy of our home. Many of us get worship music going, and we're cascading across our homes. We're enjoying the presence of God, and that is awesome. We come inside the house of God, and ministries are being done. Things are happening. Excitement, momentum is building. But most of us, we stop there. And I believe today that God is saying to this congregation, don't let this year pass by you only two-thirds of the way giving yourself. The only way any church is going to live, if there's a time that the individuals are worshiping God, there's a time that the body is worshiping God, and there's a time that we say enough is enough. It is time for us to give ourselves wholeheartedly to the things of God. It's time for us to get out of the four walls of the church and let the old mentality die that the Holy Spirit is just going to do all the work. No, he's not some mystical being. He's not some phantom or something like that that we can't see. No, he's the indwelling presence of God, and he is wanting you to go. He's wanting me to go. He's wanting us to be the church, not inside of the building, but the church in the world. Do you hear me? Can I get at least one universal amen? Listen, we want to be the church, and the question this morning is, how much are we willing to give? How much are we willing to give? How much are we willing to give? One preacher said that I want to wake up excited and full of life and full of energy for God. And at the end of the day, I want to lay down tired and wore out because I served God. Right now, somebody just slipped into eternity. Again, somebody just slipped into eternity. Again, 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 again. God, help us to be your church. God, help us to give our all to you, Lord God. God, I don't want this just to be another message where somebody say, Pastor, you did a good job. But I want people to say today, Lord God, that I heard the voice of God speak loud and clear to me personally for my life. I want somebody to say, God, use me. I'm here. Use me. If you're here today and you know you hadn't been allowing God to use you to full capacity, and you're saying today, Pastor, listen, I want to be used by God. I don't understand it fully, but I want to be used by God. If you'll slip your hand up where you're at. I see hands all over the building. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. If you're here today and your way of giving today is saying, God, I've walked away from you and I want to make you Lord of my life. I want to fall in love with you. I want to give you my all. If that's you today, slip your hand up. I see that hand. If you're here today and you just haven't never made him your personal Lord and Savior, and you want to do that, you want to make him Lord and King of your life, not so that you can be perfect and do everything right, but so that you can have a thriving, real relationship with him. If that's you, slip your hand up this morning.
Living Hope Assembly of God.